I want to start this off really quick. I want you guys to look around the sanctuary, all right? Look to the person to your right. Yeah, that's you guys' right. There you go. Look to the person to your left. I'm mirroring you guys, okay? Look for the person behind you. Find somebody. Look at them. Dead in the eyes. I'm looking at you. Look ahead. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. You get the point. Peanut gallery this morning. Come on now. You get the point. Look at somebody, right? They're probably different than you, right? They don't look the same. They don't act the same. They don't have the same background, all right? Let's talk about a couple little differences here, okay? Some fun ones. I'm a if you're a sports person, right? I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, all right? I'm getting there. Raise your hand if you like a different team than the Cowboys. Great. Put your hands down. Is anybody like the Eagles in here? Oh, thank God. I was about to say, I was like, oof, this message is going to be hard for me and you, but that's okay. All right, why don't you raise your hand really quick. Do you like NASCAR? All right, I think that's silly. All right, there's a difference, okay? Comic books. I'm a big DC Comics guy. I've read comics my whole life. Do you like comic books? Raise your hand. Do you like DC comic books? Great, put your hand down. Do you like Marvel comic books? All right, do you think comic books are stupid? All right, that hurts my feelings a little bit. Hurts my feelings just a teeny tiny bit, but it's okay, right? It's valid. We all got our thoughts and opinions. All right, I want to talk about some things that may be a little more challenging, right? A little less fun every day to talk about. I was born in Dallas, Texas. I spent the first half of my life down there. So the way I grew up and the people I was around, probably a little different than y'all, right? Some of you probably spent your whole life here on this east side of Des Moines. We got a little difference growing up, right? We have different influences that influence the way we think. Let's talk about different generations. I'm 26 years old, all right? We got some folks that are over 40, and we got our over 60 people. Weezers and geezers, is that what we decided on calling y'all? That's what Jim said, not me. But hey, I love my 60 plus, all right? I love my 60 plus, but we got some different things, right? The way I see the world is probably different than the way my 40 plus or my 60 plus do, right? Or, you know, for me, you give somebody under the age of 25 a piece of technology and they can probably figure it out in 20 seconds, right? Older folks might struggle. On the flip side, I need Google Maps to get everywhere besides my house, my church, and my grocery store. Grocery store is because it's 2 minutes away from my house, okay? I don't know how to use a map. You can laugh about that later. Laugh about it later. All right. Let's get a little more serious. Talk about our different sexes. I'm a man, right? The things that I go through in my life as a man are vastly different than something of a woman, right? I will never be able to experience or fully understand what a woman has to go through in this day. I'm never going to. I'll try my best, but I'm never going to because we're different. Our different races. I'm a white person living in America. My experience is going to be different than that of a Latino or that of our African Americans or from Asia. I'm not going to understand what your life is like, and I never will. I'm going to try, but I never will. Let's talk about our politics. Breathe. It's all right. Breathe. I made a vow as a person, right, that if I'm ever speech or if I'm ever preaching, I am never going to get political. But there's a decent chance that you and I might vote different. Are we going to let that get in our way? Should we? There's the message. Go home. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you guys. The thing is, these differences, big or small, they are important. But not because they should divide us and categorize us, because that's how God intended us to be different, right? And not only that, he intended to unite us with his Holy Spirit to use those differences. I got a couple of verses that this whole message is kind of based on here, so I want to read those couple ones for you. The first one is 1 Corinthians 2:12. Sorry, the stutter came off for a second. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. My next one is Ephesians 4:3-4. They should be on the screen there. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and open this up. Father, we thank you for this day, God. Thank you for bringing each person into this place today, God, because I know there is a reason each person is here in this place today. Father, I pray during the time of this message, God, that our hearts are open, God, and our hearts are moldable and shapeable by you, God. Lord, that we drop our preconceived notions, God, and we drop our hardened walls, God, and let you work in us today, Father. Lord, I pray that these words are not mine but yours, God, just to use me as the vessel, God, to deliver what you have for your people today, including myself. So, Father, we praise and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First point. First point. Hey, there it is. Created is the bold one. He created us to be different. Did you know that God planned for us to be different and unique from the start? He never intended to create uniformity. And you might be thinking, hey, what's the difference between unity and uniformity? I'm super glad you asked. I'm going to answer that for you. Uniformity is remaining the same in all cases and at all times, unchanging in form or character. Stagnant, not moving. Unity, however, is very different. I need to make sure I clarify this. Unity is coming together, often despite differences, to achieve a common goal. You see, the Bible, it gives us a story of people trying to become uniform. If you've ever read the Tower of Babel, and I'm going to read the whole thing for you. So if you want to turn there in your own Bibles, you can. It's Genesis 11, 1, 8. All right, it will also be up on the screen here. So I'm going to start reading the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, 1 through 8. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. So what do we see? We see some people, they decided they would prefer to be comfortable in their uniformity, speaking one language, staying the same, staying huddled together in this little teeny tiny group with no desire to change, with no desire to grow. So why, you might be asking, why would God break them up and scatter them? Seems like they were, you know, it's like, hey, they're doing something, they're coming together, whatever, right? I want to back it up just a little bit. Genesis 9:1, this is after the flood. God tells Noah and his descendants to go and spread out across the earth and multiply. It's kind of like the biblical way of your parents kicking you out of the house saying, go experience the world, right? Grow, change. So we see in just a couple chapters after God said, hey, go out to the earth and multiply, just a couple chapters, I think it's something like 100-ish years or so, they were like, I'm good. No thanks, right? They directly disobeyed God's direction. They did it out of their own pride, arrogance, and self-glorification, and they did the exact opposite of what God had asked. They wanted to become uniform. They wanted everyone to be the same, and they wanted to take pride in that sameness. That was against God's plan and design. So what did God do? He used his divine power to enact his original plan. There's one thing I know, nothing that we do is gonna stop doing, or is gonna stop God from doing what he plans to do, right? He broke them apart. You gotta turn your notifications off on your laptop. Sorry. He broke them apart so that they would do what he asked. God's design was for us to be different, to be unique, to be diverse, right? There's proof that that is natural in what God wanted us to be. And the reason why that there is those differences, right, is because we all have a different role to play. Second point. Oh, sweet. He gave us unique qualities for a purpose. You ever watched a sport being played or an orchestra performing? Go back to football here. I was a football player, so I got to talk about it. It'd really suck if everybody was a quarterback. Be kind of useless, right? You wouldn't, nothing would really be going on. Just be useless, right? Or think of an orchestra, right? Think of the orchestra being made up of just 100 tubas. Do you know what that would sound like? For like 45 minutes. That's terrible. That's awful. I don't want that, right? See, the thing is, we need different things to do different things, right? An orchestra is useless if there isn't violins and other strings and other wind instruments and brass instruments. You need them all together. So I'm gonna do another verse here. I'm going to jump a little ahead farther into Ephesians chapter 4 really quick. It's verse 16. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God gave each person unique gifts, unique experiences for the purpose of serving him. And each of those different things are important. Each person is going to function a different way to accomplish what God intended for them, right? See, me, my main job is a worship leader, right? It's what I believe God has gifted me with and called me to. My job as a worship leader is to minister to God and to bring members of the congregation to the throne room of God, right? It's important for us as Christians to worship, and we need people to lead that worship. My job's important, right? I was going to pick on Aurelie, and she's not here, but I'm still going to pick on Aurelie here. Aurelie's not a worship leader. I was just informed, though, she does play piano for the Spanish service, so... kind of, but she's not like a main worship leader, right? But she's able to reach our Spanish-speaking people in ways that I never can, and I probably never will. Her job is important because we need people to reach communities unlike our own so that we can spread that love and that message to all people. There's a pastor, he's a little... kind of hit or miss sometimes with certain things, but he's known for being very, very big and bombastic. I'm not going to name a name here, right? But he's very big and bombastic. He leads a very big church, right? As a very cynical Christian, I sometimes get a little like, I don't know if I agree with that. I'm like, oh, it's kind of, you know, whatever, right? But then God challenged me in this a little bit ago. He said, take a step back for a second. Look at the people that he's reaching. You can't reach those people. Look what he's doing. He's reaching those people because his ways are different. His methods are different than what I would maybe say, right? And that's needed, right? Just because we have a different function doesn't mean that we don't have the same goal. How we use those functions in conjunction with each other determines our successfulness. Sometimes those pieces aren't always going to be obvious, though, in how they fit together. I need some volunteers. Raise your hand if you would like to volunteer for something. Cool, the three people that I asked to raise your hands. That's awesome. I really didn't want to be like, hey, can I get some volunteers? And everyone's like, all right. Connor, stand up for me. Wave hi. Say hi, Connor. Hi. There we go. Connor, I want you to go to the back there for me really quick. Hustle up now. Come on. You got, there you go. All right. Stop. All right. Everybody look at Connor now. I want you to take... running. What do you mainly need to run? There you go. You can say it. You can say it out loud. That's fine. Call and response is great. You need legs, right? Feet. Well, okay. You. All right. You need legs pretty much to run, right? Now, I want you to think about this. When you were a kid, you were kind of silly. You were kind of dumb, right? You ever tried running without using your arms? It's kind of silly. Connor, I need you. Yes, I'm doing this. Yes, I'm doing this. I did not clear him with this, or clear this with him. Connor, I need you, without the use of your arms, you can keep them down here, you can, I don't care. I need you to run to me as fast as you can without your arms. Go. That was the most Naruto run, if you know what Naruto is. Sorry, that's for my under 40s, okay? All right, now, he's probably a little slower than he would be if he wasn't using those arms, right? You know, not quite as efficient, not quite working as well. Connor, now. All right, I didn't say sprinter start, but okay. Here's what I need you to do now. I need you to sprint to me as fast as you can, but use your arms. Ready? Go. Okay. So what do we see that by Connor's running mechanics? He's a little faster. It's a little more comfortable. Hey, give him a round of applause. You feel everything's still working okay or not broken down or nothing? All right. Here we go. You got your work. You got your Sunday cardio in, right? Cool. So using those arms makes it a little bit easier, right? It's not exactly obvious. When we think of running, we're going to think of our legs first and foremost, right? But if you're not using your arms, you are not going to efficiently accomplish your goal of being faster, right? Ties right back into that verse. Each part does its own special work. And then here's the second part of it. It helps the other parts grow. We need those arms to get those legs to move a little bit faster, right? We're going to kind of be moving in towards our final point here. But let me see my last point up there. Hey, there it is. He has called us to be unified. I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to go back to the start of that here. Ephesians 4, 3 through 4. Let's read that one more time. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. I'm gonna beat you over the head with the point of this message here. God wants us to be united. We are of the same body, with the same Holy Spirit residing within us. And we have all been called to the same mission of spreading the love of God and the good news of Jesus. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, 1 through 6 here really quick. It's talking about the day of Pentecost, right, where tongues of fire come down and people are speaking different language. I'm going to read this. It should be on the screen for you. Acts chapter 2. 1 through 6. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. Aaron and I were talking about building this message, and he was giving me some of these ideas, and it was really cool to see how God works. We see all the way back at the start, right at the very beginning. God used language as the inception of our diversity and our differences back in Genesis 11. He created these different languages to send us out. He created those differences there. And then through the Holy Spirit in Acts, we see that he used it to reconcile us into unity. What I love, it doesn't say that all people in the vicinity spoke the same language. It doesn't say we all started speaking, you know, Hebrew, right? It said speaking different languages and languages of others. The Holy Spirit kept our diversity and our uniqueness when he settled upon us and used it to unite us. He uses to show that all believers are to be united. Speaking the native language of another person is a really beautiful and simple, profound way to reach somebody. If you're in another country that doesn't typically speak English and you find someone that speaks English, it's that connection. It's that strong point, that strong connection. It's an acknowledgement, to hear the word of God preached to you in the language that you were born into is such an act of unity. It's an acknowledgement of our differences, and it's a loving extended hand out to each other. See, later in Ephesians chapter 4, I told you I skipped ahead a little bit ago. I'll just get back around into it here. Later in Ephesians 4, Paul outlines why this unity is necessary. And it's not just because God thought it would be fun when he was making us all together here. So we're going to read Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. It should be also on the screen there, yeah. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ. I really want you to hear verse 14 here. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. That's what's happening today. We are so divided, not just in our country, around our whole world, we are so divided. You know, a few weeks ago during worship, I broke down in tears because it hurt me so bad to see and feel how divided we were, because we've let everything influence us other than God. When we let those things differentiate us, tear us apart and keep us in isolation, instead of celebrating them and growing from them, we lose ourselves. We lose what make us children of God. See, what happens is we fall into these what's called echo chambers. I don't know if you've heard that term or phrase before. What it means is you get stuck in a little spot where you just continue to hear everything that you want to hear. Your Fox News and your MSNBC are your echo chambers. Your TikTok feed, your Instagram feed, your Facebook algorithm is your echo chamber. You sit scrolling on there, and guess what it does? It feeds you more of what you interact with until you're stuck in one tiny isolation bubble and you cannot break out of it. God challenged me. I'm going off script here for a second here. When I work out, I have a gym in my home. When I work out, I typically just, in between my sets, I sit there and I scroll on my phone. Scroll through Reddit, Instagram, again, whatever, right? And workout is the first thing I do in the mornings. I sat there and I was doom scrolling through my phone. I got the most massive headache I've ever had in my life. I was depressed for the rest of my morning, and the rest of my day went so poorly because all I did was I looked at everything that was going on in my echo chamber that I've created, and I was outraged by things that were not of God. So God challenged me, said, put the phone down, go grab your Bible, and in between your sets, I want you to do your daily Bible reading. I did it. And my whole attitude was very different because I chose to focus on not of things of the world. I chose to focus on the things of God. I chose to, instead of looking at people that I disagree with politically or whatever else otherwise and get mad at them and say, wow, they're so stupid. How could they think like that? I chose to say, that person's a child of God. I will love them. I may disagree with them, but I'm still going to love them. And my heart became lighter. I became filled with peace that only the Holy Spirit could bring inside of me, right? Instead of looking at everybody like my adversary, I looked at everybody like my brother and my sister. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Back in that verse, Remember how it says binding yourselves together with peace, right? Doesn't say we're binding ourselves with the same sports team. Doesn't say we're binding ourselves with the same race. It doesn't say we're binding ourselves with the same politics. It says with peace. Peace is a careful and loving understanding of one another. Peace is what comes from God when you invite the Holy Spirit to be inside you. The only way to break free from this division that we've set up is to let the Holy Spirit work inside your heart and let it connect you to follow you, to fellow believers and to Jesus. We got a little bit more of that scripture here. Let's pick up in verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work and helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing. And what's that last part there? Full of love. That's it. That is why God wants us to be united. That is why he brought down his Holy Spirit upon us so that we could have a supernatural unification together. When we're united, we can reach others with truth and love. We can share the love of God with those around us who don't know him. We can go into different places and be used in our own unique ways to reach God's beautiful and unique people. When we aren't united, though, we're like a detached limb, useless. I don't want that. I don't want that for the world that we live in. Whether you think Jesus is coming back in 2 minutes or another 2,000 years, we are here now. There are people in this world that need the love of Jesus. Now. Before we get to our closing, I want to ask a quick question here, and you can sit on this. I really do want you to think about it, because I've been thinking about it for a while now. If we can't love and be united in Christ with every last believer in just this room alone, and I take the count, we got probably 95 people in this room right now. If we can't be united, if we can't love and be united in Christ with every last believer in this room, how do you think we're going to be able to love and unite with Jesus, even a single person outside of it? You're not going to. So my challenge for us today is instead of looking at our differences and letting them divide us, I want you to extend a hand out to that person. And I want you to try to understand them. And I want you to love on that person, right? Because that's what we've been called to do. That's what the Holy Spirit inside of us does. Because sometimes there's some differences that are hard to overcome. But guess what? It's not you that is overcoming it. It is the divine nature of the Holy Spirit that is. Because when you lean on yourself, what happens when you lean on yourself? You fall. What happens when you lean on God? You can stand strong. So we're gonna come to a close here. I got two things for our prayer here. If we want to stand united as believers, we got to make sure we're united with God first. So today, if you've never made that commitment and you want to make that commitment, I want to open that door for you to receive prayer and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. After we pray, I want you to come find me. Pastors, raise your hand. All my pastors. There we go. All my prayer team, raise your hand. Thank you. If you want to make that commitment, I want you to come find me or one of these people today, and let's talk about prayer and praying for salvation today. Last thing we're going to do is it's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Sorry, not sorry. I want everybody to stand here really quick with me. Oh, nice. It's like 11:20. Oh, that's not bad. Okay. Sorry, I gotta bring a little bit of levity here. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand or put a hand on their shoulder. I don't care if you know them. I don't care if you like them. That is not my concern today. My concern today is that we stand united as believers in this place, right? Because that's what God has called us to do. Like I said, my last question here is, if we can't do this with each person in here, how do we expect to bring one person from outside of there into here? It ain't going to happen. So what I want to do is I want to pray for unity in this church. And I want to pray that that unity and that love spreads out beyond here. So I'm going to pray. I encourage you to pray along with me, and then we'll close up for the day here. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into this place. God, you've brought this community together for a reason and a purpose, Lord. It's because we are unique. It's because we are different. You have brought us together, God, so that we can serve you. God, we all have the same goal. We all have the same purpose, Father God, and it's to serve you, Lord. And we're going to do it differently. And that's good. Father, I pray in this church, God, we never let our differences divide us. We never let our differences separate us from togetherness and from you. God, because we are a part of one body. God, and you are the head. Lord, I pray that in this church we never disband. We never break apart. God, but we look to you and your Holy Spirit for that divine power, that divine wisdom, God, to keep us together as one. Lord, I pray that bond and that unity, Father, is everlasting. Father, we just lift up this place to you today. Lord, and I pray that through this unity, God, that we can reach other people. God, we can bring them into your fold. God, the love that we display to each other, God, we can reach that out to each other person outside of these four walls, God. Lord, that when they look at us, they see that we are united. God, and they want to be a part of that unity. Father, we praise you and we thank you so much for each person in this place today and all that you do through us, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.